I am reminded again of just how blessed we are to have talented and dedicated musicians all around us. And we are blessed by their talents every single Sunday. From Galatians, the third chapter, Paul writes, "Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. For in Christ Jesus, you have all been made sons of God through faith." In Christ Jesus, you have all been made sons of God through faith. "And as many of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus, you have now put on Christ. And so there is no more Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are all in Christ, then you are all the children of Abraham, and you are all heirs of the promise." It is a truism about our society that we are very polarized. And it is true that even in our congregation, there are a variety of opinions on almost every single subject. And we may differ as to gun control or abortion or same-sex marriage or the importance of January 6th or a whole host of things. But the early Christians would look at us and say, "The differences you have are minuscule. Consider the challenge that we faced as an early church. We had Jews shaped by centuries of tradition, practicing a kosher diet, rubbing shoulders with Gentiles who still bought their meat from pagan butcher who sacrificed a portion of it to pagan idols. We had slave owners rubbing shoulders with slaves and the slaves of their peers. We had men worshiping with women. After 1,000 years or more of being separated in worship by tradition and by social structure." The early church was not just a theological wonder, it was a sociological phenomenon. Under the love of Christ, experiencing the Spirit of Christ, God was able to eliminate all of these distinctive categories and to mold people together into one fellowship. God was able to eradicate all of the pods in which people lived and was able to unite them one in the Spirit of Christ. When you are baptized into Christ Jesus, you put on Christ, said Paul. And so you're all one in Christ Jesus. I share that as a prelude to a look at a short story penned by Karen Blixen, who's better known under her pen name, Isaac Denison. Isaac Denison penned a book that sponsored one of the most boring movies in cinematic history, Out of Africa. Never go to a movie that wins awards for cinematography. But she also penned a little short story that has a profound theological meaning that was also made into a movie. It's called Babette's Feast. Denison set the story in late 19th century Denmark, and this small, isolated town really was governed by an old pastor who had stern faith but tempered it with love and wisdom. And he had two beautiful daughters, one of whom was courted by a young, dashing cavalry officer, and one by a rising opera star in Paris. But both beautiful girls turned down their suitors and stayed with their father. And when he died, they continued to try to carry on his work. Some years later, a woman appears on the doorstep of these two sisters with a letter from the now famous opera star. And the letter says, "This woman is fleeing a war-torn part of France. Take her in. Let her be your cook and your housekeeper." Well, the sisters were too poor to employ her, so she worked for years with no pay. But she kept one connection to her Paris background. She had a friend renew every year her lottery ticket. And one year, wonder of wonders, she won the lottery, 10,000 francs, a fortune. But rather than use that money to go back to her life in Paris, she asked the town elders for permission to create a fabulous meal for them on the 100th anniversary of the old pastor's birth. And the town agreed. But as they heard of the sumptuous things that she was buying, even from far away, the town began to wonder that maybe the dinner might become a sensual sin. So they agreed to eat it in silence. But on the day of the feast, the young, dashing Swedish cavalry officer, now a famous Swedish general, happened to be in town, and he didn't know about the silence, so he's offering expert commentary on every aspect of the meal. And he's comparing it to this sumptuous feast he had at a famous restaurant in Paris. It turns out that Babette was the chef in that famous Parisian restaurant. And as the townspeople are enjoying the meal, something miraculous happens. Past grudges are put aside. Old loves are rekindled. Walls of alienation come down. Forgiveness is extended and accepted. And a spirit of reconciliation fills that great feast. As people enjoy this chef's culinary wonders, feuds are forgotten. Past grievances are put aside. Grim faces relax. Laughter abounds. And at the end of the meal, the whole town gathers around the city fountain and they hold hands and they sing a hymn. The thing is, Babette has spent the whole 10,000 francs in providing this meal for the town. So now she is just as poor as she was before. But the difference is she now basks in the adoration and the gratitude and the love of the whole community who thanks her for the feast that brought them back together. Our Lord brings us today for a feast. And he has spent far more than any earthly fortune. He gave us all that he had, his life, his blood, his body, his whole ministry. And he did so to knit us together, to bring us into a meal of reconciliation. Through Christ, it doesn't matter about our social status or our bank account or our race or our politics. or our school affiliation, all of the categories in which we place people, they're obliterated by the grace of Christ. The same Christ who obliterated those categories of Jew and Greek, slave and slave owner, male and female, that same Christ takes us out of our little pods, out of our little silos, and brings us together as one family. When we come to this meal, this feast, it's meant to be a feast of the newborn in Christ. It's meant to be a feast of a group of people who daily try to sacrifice and put to death that impulse to divide, that impulse to separate, that impulse to categorize. When we come to this feast, the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord, it is meant to be a feast that calls us to put our alienation aside and to be filled with the spirit of reconciliation and to realize we are all one in Christ. All who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. And so we're no longer divided by categories. We are one, one in the Spirit, and one in the very body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this meal is meant to invoke in us, that willingness to be purged in heart, cleansed in spirit, and empowered by grace to receive grace and to extend it. Such is the feast of our Lord this day.